Have you ever gone into a crowded hall or building that is cram-packed full of people? And as you look around, you see a sea of unfamiliar faces, and it seems that almost every chair has been occupied by somebody else, and you just don't know where to sit, where to go, or what to do. It can be somewhat intimidating and somewhat unsettling. It somehow seems to just make you feel nervous. And then in the midst of that sea of unknown faces, maybe somebody stands up, and all of a sudden you recognize them, and you know them intimately, you know them well, and they see your predicament, and they stand up, and they get your attention, and they signal to you, indicating that they have kept a seat for you. I've kept a seat for you. Come over here. There is a place beside me. And what a wonderful thing that is. And here the Lord speaks to Moses on a similar level. Here is a man who, as we read in the context of this verse, has good doubts, has good fears, uncertainties about the future, feels somewhat out of his depth. And the Lord says to him in verse 21 of Exodus 33, Moses, there's a place here beside me. There is a place beside me. Likewise, in this crowded, unfriendly, sometimes and confused and uncertain world of ours, the Lord says to all of his people, behold, there is a place beside me. What a wonderful, wonderful text of Scripture. God says to us in this world, whenever he sees us lost, perhaps, weary, confused, disappointed, downcast, uncertain about the future, maybe disappointed about the past and fearful about our surroundings, the Lord comes and the Lord speaks to us and says, behold, there is a place by me. There is a place beside me. It's a lot like the words of Psalm 91 where the psalmist says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I want to ask you this morning, right at the beginning of this message, have you personally found your place beside the Lord? Maybe even as a Christian, you are feeling somewhat uncertain, fearful and anxious about present circumstances in this world of ours, maybe about your future, and it seems that there's very few people that you can draw alongside and unburden your heart to, and yet in the midst of it all, the Lord says, behold, there's a place right beside me. I've got a place for you, and it's right here beside me, under the shadow of my wing, under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to speak for a little while this morning about a place beside the Lord. And first of all, maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian. You're not yet saved. You do not know the Lord personally. Well, I want to tell you that there's a place beside the Lord at the cross. It's as if the Lord is saying to us here this morning, there is a place beside me at the cross. You find yourself here this morning in this church service and maybe conscious of guilt, conscious perhaps of your sin, conscious maybe of your failings in life and your shortcomings before God. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you're lost and you would love to know that your sins are forgiven. You want to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You want to be able to enjoy fellowship with God and address God as your Father. It is your heart's desire to know the Lord intimately, to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you're saved, and to know that you're right for heaven. And the Lord says, behold, there is a place beside me. As the hymn writer said, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Think about the account of the penitent thief over there in Luke's Gospel chapter 23 and verse number 39, where it's recorded in the Word of God, and one of the malefactors which were hanged reeled on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing we are in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. There was a man on the brink of eternity, his life fast drawing to a close. And he realizes his sin and his folly. And as he thinks about the Savior, as he listens to him praying, as he listens to his words of grace and mercy, as he sees his countenance upon the cross, all of a sudden he stops mocking and he listens to what his partner in crime is doing, and all of a sudden his conscience is awakened, and all of a sudden the fear of God comes into his heart. And he says to his partner in crime, Do you not fear God at all? This man has done nothing amiss. He's pure and sinless and spotless and holy. And we are here today because we are getting exactly what we deserve. It's only right and it's only just that we are on this cross, because we have sinned against man. And certainly we have sinned against God. And we are only getting what we deserve. But this man that we have been mocking has done nothing amiss. And then he turns to the Lord and he asks for mercy. Right there at the Lord's side. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what's the most amazing thing? In this portion I see justice. I see a man who acknowledges, I am getting what the law dictates that I should get. And we can all take our place with that penitent thief. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to be damned and lost forever. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. I see justice. I see providence. Many people had been crucified before. Here's a man who's been crucified. And on the day that he's being crucified, the Prince of Glory has been crucified beside him. If it had happened on any other day, there maybe wouldn't have been such grace and mercy. But yet that day his heart was open because he found himself in the presence of the Son of God. Providence brought him there. Providence has brought you here this morning. On the last Lord's Day of 2019, you find yourself in God's house. Not only in the presence of God's people, but in the presence of God's Word, and in the presence of a risen Savior as well. And here this morning, you can find mercy. I see justice, I see providence, I see salvation. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said unto him, Verily, truly, most assuredly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's just like the hymn writer said, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. There's a place for me at the cross. Multitudes have found a place by him at the cross. I can still recall as a teenage boy, 13 years of age, whenever I entered in and found a place for me at the cross. And you're here this morning and you say, Preacher, is there salvation for me? Is there mercy for me? Is there forgiveness for me? Is there life for me? Is there salvation for me? Yes, there is. But only at the cross. And it's as if maybe the Lord is saying to you this morning, Listen, sinner, those without Christ in this meeting, there's a place by me, right at my side, right beside me at the cross. You come and I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll set you free. I'll wash you. I'll give you a new life, a new beginning, and a new future. And let's get the whole thing settled. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come right to my side. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There's a place beside him at the cross. And then having come to the cross, there's a place beside him in the kingdom of God. And whenever we're speaking about the kingdom of God, we're speaking about the kingdom of God presently. The Bible says whenever a person becomes a Christian, that they are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now Moses is recognizing here in Exodus chapter 33 that he's about to embark and continuing to embark on a great journey. And so in verse number 13, he asks the Lord for guidance. Show me now thy way. Lord, I don't know the way forward. I'm not entirely sure where to go from here. Lord, I know that you've led me thus far, but Lord, I need grace for the future. Show me now thy way. And as we look back over our lives up until this point, we can say, grace has led us safe thus far. And as you think about uncertain days in the future, truly, we need to pray for God's guidance again and say, Lord, show me now thy way. He asks for God's guidance. And he also asks in verse number 18 to see something of God's glory. I beseech thee now, show me thy glory. Here's a man who recognizes that he has come so far, but there is still so much more for him to experience in his walk with God and his relationship with his God. And I think we need to recognize the same. Is it not true today that there is so much more for us to experience as Christians, individually, collectively? And who but knows in the year that lies before us, God could show us tokens for good, and God could show us something of his glory in revival blessing personally, ecclesiastically, and nationally. We need to make the prayers of Moses our prayers today. Lord, show me thy way. Lord, show me thy glory. Lord, I know that there's so much more. I know that thou art a God of majesty, a God of holiness, a God of power, a God of glory. And Lord, I do not despise anything that you've done right up until this point, but Lord, I want to see more. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. And truly, Lord, there is so much more for me, even as I press on deeper into the kingdom of Christ and of God. And in answer to Moses' prayer, God says, behold, there is a place by me. Moses, you come alongside. I've got a place beside me for you right now. And as you have prayed for these things, if you draw alongside Moses, I will show you some of these things. There is a place beside me in the kingdom. I tell you this morning, it's a place of commendation. And by commendation, I mean a place of divine favor. You'll notice in verse number 19 that God says to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. In 19, that verse 19 as well, he says, I will be gracious and I will show mercy. And Moses, you come alongside and you come to me. Moses, there's a place beside me. And if you come to this place, you'll experience my goodness. Moses, if you come to this place, you will experience in a deeper way my grace. Moses, if you draw alongside, you will experience my mercy. Now, who is it that resides at God's right hand in glory? It's Jesus Christ our Lord. And the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God can be found and experienced in him, a place of commendation. The Bible says that God hath made us to sit together in heavenly places with him in glory in Christ Jesus, a place of commendation. Do you desire to experience the goodness of God in these days? Do you need the grace of God in your life? Maybe you're finding the going difficult and hard and laborious. And like the Apostle Paul, you pray that God will remove that thorn in the flesh. But the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Maybe as a Christian this morning, you would acknowledge, like the rest of us, that you need God's mercy. And God says, there's a place beside me, a place of commendation. It's also a place of covering. You know, the closer a person gets to the Lord, the more conscious they become of his holiness, of his glory, of his majesty, of his splendor. And at the same time, the more they become conscious of their own sin and unholiness and faults and feelings and shortcomings, Moses had suddenly become conscious of the glory and the majesty of the God that has called him and the God that has saved him. And he has prayed, Lord, show me thy glory. And in verse 20, God says, there shall no man see my face and live. Moses, if you were to come right into my presence and I was to reveal myself to you in the nakedness of my holiness, Moses, you would be consumed in a moment of time. Nobody can look upon God and live. But Moses, listen, there is nevertheless a place beside me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Have you ever become conscious of how holy and how glorious and how majestic and radiant and how our God is a God of great splendor? And you think, how could I ever stand before him? And the answer is that God has provided a covering. God has provided a covering. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned against God, they became conscious of just how holy God is and of how sinful they were, and they went and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord in the midst of the garden and covered themselves with fig leaves. And whenever God came and God began to speak to them in the garden, they hid themselves still. And yet God called them out. And God brought them to his side. And God made coats of skins. And God covered them. And in that we have a wonderful picture of the gospel. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, shedding his precious blood for our cleansing and giving to us his righteousness as a covering. And God brings us today to a place beside him and says, listen, you come beside me and I will cover you. I will cover you with my precious blood. I will cover you with my righteousness. I will cover you underneath the shelter of my wings. And that leads us to another thought. Not only is this place beside the Lord a place of commendation, a place of divine favor, it's a place as well of covering, but it's certainly a place of comfort. A place of comfort. There seems to be here a deep familiarity between Moses and his God. If you look at verse number 11, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. His friend. Moses, yes, I'm your God. And no, Moses, you cannot look upon me and live. And yes, Moses, I'm a God of great majesty, a God of great glory, a God of infinite holiness. But Moses, I'm also your friend. Moses, there's a place here right beside me. Moses, you come in and draw alongside me. Moses, I'm your friend. And what comfort that filled the heart of Moses with. It's a term of familiarity. God has spoken to Moses as a father speaks to his son. The Bible says in Isaiah 66 and verse number 13, is one whom his mother comforteth, I will comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Israel. How oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings? Maybe you're here today and life has been difficult. Circumstances perhaps have been cruel. Providence has been hard to read and hard to understand in this last year that has gone by. And maybe you're perhaps a little bit timid. You wonder, does God still love you? You wonder, does God care about me? Maybe I've sinned against him and I've driven the Lord away from my breast. Maybe God is angry with me. Maybe God is finished with me. But the Lord says, no, behold, there's a place beside me. Come alongside. I'm your friend today. I'm your God. I'm your counselor. I'm your comforter. And I'm your guide. You know, before the Lord Jesus Christ left this scene of time, we have those wonderful words from John chapter 14 through to John chapter 16, where the Lord spends a lot of time speaking to his disciples, and he begins his address in verse 1 of chapter 14 with, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He says, I must go away, but if I go away, I will send another comforter. Who is this other comforter? It's the Holy Spirit. And the word that is translated comforter there in those wonderful chapters in John's Gospel is a word paraclete. And the word paraclete just means one who draws alongside. One who comes right to where we are. One who stands beside us. And one who is able to comfort us with all of the comfort that Jesus Christ can give. There's a place of comfort beside the Lord. There's a place of covering beside the Lord. There's a place of commendation beside the Lord. But there's a place of confidence beside the Lord. Verse 21, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Moses, listen. There's a rock here. Moses, you come and you stand upon this rock. It's a sure foundation. You'll not be shaken. You'll not be moved as long as you stand here upon this rock. And isn't the application, isn't the typology today so clear and so obvious that that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, the rock that followed them was Christ. Did not our Lord say to Peter, Thou art Peter, and then speaking about Himself says, But upon this rock I will build my church. He's a sure foundation, for other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, that is Christ Jesus. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like unto a builder that built his house upon the rock. And whenever the storms came and the floods came, the house stood because it was built and fashioned upon a rock. Those who obey the Lord and those who draw alongside find themselves in a place of confidence. That whatever life throws at them, whatever floods may rise, whatever storms may come, whatever winds may blow, that they're standing beside the Lord and they're there upon a rock. It's also a place of communion. Verse number 9, it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And then in verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh with his friend. But still then, in verse number 21, he's inviting Moses to come even closer. They're speaking face to face. They're communing as friend with friend. And then the Lord says, Moses, come on, even closer, Moses. There's a place right here beside me. Don't stand afar off. Don't stand at a distance. Don't be content to stand over there and me over here. Moses, you come. There's a place right here beside me. Come as close as you want. Come as close as you will. Come as close as you can and enter into deeper fellowship still. You know, we can be as close to the Lord as we want. The old hymn writer said, Nearer, nearer, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of His Son I am as near as He. Maybe the Lord is calling us today in these days, these closing days of time. Come closer. There's a place right here beside me. Yes, you're in fellowship with God. Yes, you're on praying ground. Yes, you're on the ground of redemption, but oh, there's so much more. God says there's a place for you right here beside me. You know, as we think about the tabernacle, and that's the context here, we think about the gate. And the gate was the place where all of God's people fellowshiped together. It was the place of assembly. And then the Levites and the sons of Aaron would enter within the gate and they would go to the brazen altar, and that speaks about the cross. Place of sacrifice. And then having gone to the brazen altar, they would have gone to the brazen laver. And that speaks about the Word of God, because the laver was made out of the copper mirrors that the woman donated. And whenever the priest looked into the laver, he saw his reflection and he washed his hands and he washed his feet. And the Bible describes itself as being like a mirror. But oh, there was more fellowship, because after going to the gate and the altar and the laver, they could go into the holy place. And in the holy place there was a candlestick. And there was an altar of incense. And that speaks of prayer. And then there was the table of showbread, and that speaks of fellowship. And then there was the great veil. And on the other side of the place, there was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. And that was the very dwelling place of God upon the earth. And on the cross, that veil was rent in twain. And some people are maybe content to come to the place of assembly and meet with God's people. Others still are happy to come to the cross and have their sins forgiven. And then there are others who come to the Word of God and they begin to read the Word of God and they begin to fellowship around the Word of God. And then there are others who still enter deeper and they come to the place of prayer and they feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and they sit at the Lord's table. And then still there are others who enter within the veil and they come right to the Lord's side, right into the place of intimacy and they commune with God as friend with friend. It's like the 12 apostles. You've got the 12. One of them, Judas, was a devil. He never knew the Lord in a saving manner at all, but the other 11 did. And yet in the midst of the other 11, there were three, Peter, James, and John. And they were the ones who entered into the Mount of Transfiguration. They were the three that went into the Garden of Gethsemane whenever the others stood outside. And yet, in that three, there was John who leaned upon the Lord's breast and came as close to the Lord as it was possible to be. Because he realized there's a place there beside the Lord. And if nobody else wants it, I'll take it. I want to lean upon the Lord's breast. The hymn writer said, there is a place where Jesus sheds the oil of gladness on our heads. There is a calm, a safe retreat. 'Tis found beneath the mercy seat. What do we really know of it this morning? Communion, fellowship, intimacy with God. And then it's also the place of consecration. I don't think we can draw near to His side without surrendering all that we are and all that we have to Him. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to Thy precious, wounded side. Moses, I believe, is coming into a place of absolute consecration. One old Church of England cleric hundreds of years ago says the human body has two eyes. The human soul has but one. We must do all things with a single eye to His glory. Friends, this place beside the Lord was purchased for us at highest cost by our Savior's precious and redeeming blood. The Lord says, come, there's a place beside me, right now at my wounded side. And again, we think of Charles Studd, the great missionary, who surrendered a life of wealth, a life of fame, a life of luxury, and said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. Can I ask you this morning, are you in this place today? Are you in the place of commendation, the place of divine favor? Are you in the place this morning of comfort, the place of covering, the place of confidence, the place of communion, and the place of consecration? Maybe you can look back at a time in your life whenever you were in this place. But oh, sad to relate this morning, you've wandered and you've drifted. Solomon said in Proverbs 27 and verse number 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from her place. Have you wandered from your place today? Maybe your life was once upon the altar for God, a living sacrifice, as Paul says in Romans 12, but a living sacrifice can so easily crawl off the altar, and no longer is your life upon the altar of service. No longer are you in the place of communion. No longer are you enjoying the comfort and assurance of God's presence. You've wandered. You've drifted, perhaps. You need to come back. The Lord says to you this morning, listen, there's still a place beside me. There's a place beside me at the cross. There's a place beside me in the kingdom. And there's also a place beside me in the glory. John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He said to the dying thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He speaks to our hearts through Peter, who said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, that there's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven, that fadeth not away. It's kept in heaven for us. He said to the church at Laodicea, him that overcometh will sit with me in my throne. Even so in heaven there's a place for me. I can hardly believe it. I can scarcely take it in. John Wesley once said, you know, whenever you get to heaven, there will be people in heaven that you didn't expect to see there. And that'll be a big surprise. He says there will be people that you expected to see in heaven who won't be there. And that'll be a big surprise. But the biggest surprise of all is that you find yourself in heaven. I think the child of God enjoys a level of assurance on this earth of sins forgiven. But I think it'll still be a big surprise whenever one day we stand face to face with our Redeemer. Hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Or as the hymn writer says, he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be when my life work is ended and I cross the other side. The first face to welcome me will be the glorious face of my Redeemer. When all my labors and trials are o'er, when I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. God says to you this morning, there's a place beside me. Come, there's a place beside me at the cross. There's a place beside me in the kingdom. There's a place beside me in the glory. Are you in your place this morning? Have you taken your place as a sinner at the cross? Are you enjoying your place in the kingdom beside the Lord in fellowship with Him? Do you have the assurance of a place in glory? God says, come. There's a place beside me. In this world of confusion, in this world of unfriendly faces, in this crowded world of ours that is so lost, there's a place beside me. Will you come and take your place wherever that may be? Let's sing an old hymn together. In closing, 572. 572, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. 572, we'll stand together, please, as we sing, and I'll go to the door as we sing this old hymn together. But just before we start, let us pray together. And if you're not staying for the Lord's table, we commit you now to the Lord, and we'll meet you at the door as the congregation that are remaining sing this lovely old hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for Thy grace, for Thy mercy. We realize today that Thou art a God who is so high and so lofty and so holy, and yet Thou art the sinner's friend. We thank Thee, O God, that there's a place beside the Lord at the cross. There's a place beside the Lord, even in this world as we live in God's kingdom. There's a place beside the Lord in glory. O God, we pray that everyone here this morning would find that place beside the Lord and come into full and deep fellowship with Thyself. Write Thy word upon our hearts, we humbly ask. In Jesus' name, amen.